I can't hear you. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. We got 8 more days. Isn't that wonderful? 8 more days. If we stretch them. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Get my notes here lined out where I can won't have to talk and work too. The great rainy day today cooled things off. We ought to be feeling really, really great. By the way, speaking of that, I was just handed a newspaper clipping about these food prices. I don't know if you're keeping up on them or not, but there's a warning, and you better start thinking about it. Global development moving to bring food prices up. UN warning. This is a UN warning to you. I've been warning you for several years now. I want you to turn over to Revelation 6. I'll come back to the announcements here. But Revelation 6, if you don't have these sermons on the quartet, you need to get them. Or get the book of Yisrael, where they're in detail, where you can read it and search it out with your scriptures. But Revelation 6 also, now the Savior was given this prophecy. If you remember Revelation 1:1, he was given this prophecy to give to you, the house of Yahweh, in this time period. Can you imagine that? Our Savior, our Creator, Yahweh, knew that we would be sitting here learning of his ways at this time period, and he gave the Savior and High Priest a message for you today. That's what Revelations was written for. It wasn't written for those people back then. It was written for us today. Yeah. And the Savior shows you here in chapter 6, the quartet, and he shows you what it's going into here. And the, power was granted unto them to take peace from the earth and should kill one another. And then the very next one, verse 5, and when he opened the third seal, then I heard the third creature say, or the third living say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat upon him had a pair of scales. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living, saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and do not hurt the oil and the wine. Well, that's what we did have. And in the midst of this, right in the middle of this quartet's activity here, the power that was granted to them, Barack Obama included in this thing right here, shown in the hidden codes. And he says in verse 7, and when he opened this fourth one then, here comes verse 8, the pale horse, and the name of him who sat upon it was Death, and Sheol the grave followed, and power was given unto him over a fourth part of the earth to kill with war and with hunger. Also with pestilence and diseases, but hunger. Well, listen to this now. Now, this just came out on the 24th, yesterday. The world may be on the brink of a major new food crisis caused. Now, this is caused by environmental disaster and rampant market speculation. To clue you in on what's taking place here, the futures market is where you can buy food, you can buy anything. Anything that's raised, this comes from the schools of higher learning, and it's for the purpose of making money. Now, you can buy all the wheat in the country, and you can store this wheat never see it. You don't even have to see it. The bankers, you know, who have your money can buy this future, and the stock market can do all this for you, buy the wheat up, and then hold it. And of course, sometimes you can make a lot of money like this. Sometimes, if you don't know what you're doing, you can lose a lot of money. But with the Catholic Church, they have money to burn. So they can buy all the wheat in the world and dish it out a little at a time, just enough to make the market climb, and we start begging for the wheat and, of course, willing to pay more for it. But this is true of all the commodities raised. The corn is scooting up to the rice. Corn, rice, and wheat. And the wheat has taken a great boost here lately. But let me read this now, and you keep that in mind, that this is caused, as the scriptures show, it would be here in Revelation 6. Okay, the world may be on the brink of this major food crisis. I see today emergency meeting. Well, let me just read the whole thing. The world may be on the brink of a major new food crisis caused by environmental disaster, rampant market speculators. The UN was warned today at an emergency meeting on food price inflation. They were warned that the food prices is going to skyrocket. The UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, meeting in Rome today was called last month after a heat wave and wildfires in Russia led to draconian. That word there is, if I got it here, this was more from your schools of higher learning. Draco, it means... It's the Athenian politicians who codified the laws at Athens. This is part of it now. The installations in the polar region, and this takes you to Dragon. I'm looking that up now because I know it has to do with the solar system and the following of a god. And then the draconian itself, this word they used here, exceedingly harsh, very severe. If you remember, the vice president, Joe Biden, he said at the election of Barack Obama, he said, Barack Obama is going to have to make some severe changes, things that you're not going to like, he said. Now, how did he know this? They'd just been elected. Well, of course, it was laid out for them. And this is some of the news that's coming forth from it now that we're getting news about that was laid out to them from Rome and Athens, Greece, from the schools of higher learning. Keep this in mind, because this is what the scripture shows down through the centuries, that was created for the purpose of speculation but making money. That's the reason Christmas was chosen, to make money. Gift giving. The more you learn about gift giving, the more you'll see how evil this thing is. I'm going to show you before this feast is out, hopefully, was part of the sermons anyway. Okay, the UN Food and Agriculture Organization meeting in Rome today was called last month after a heat wave and wildfires in Russia led to a draconian wheat export ban. This was one of their big decisions that they made now due to the speculation of the futures market. And food riots broke out in Mozambique, killing 13 people. But UN experts heard that pension and hedge funds, sovereign wealth funds, and large banks who speculate on the commodity markets may also be responsible for inflation in food prices being seen across all continents now. In a newsletter released this week, Oliver D. Schuchter, the UN special reporter on food, says that the increases in prices and the volatility of the food commodities can only be explained by the emergence of a speculative bubble, which he traces back to the early 90s. It was started before Barack Obama was elected. Early 90s. A near doubling of many staple food prices in 2007 and 8 led to riots in more than 30 countries and estimated 150 million extra people going hungry. While some commodity prices have since reduced, the majority are well over 50% higher than previously in 2007 figures, and are now rising quickly upwards again. Once again, we find ourselves in a situation where basic food commodities are undergoing supply stocks. World wheat futures, that's the future market, if you don't understand. The future markets, you can buy it if you want to. You can buy part of it if you want to. World wheat futures and spot prices climbed steadily until the beginning of August 2010, when Russia, faced with massive wildfires that destroyed its wheat harvest, imposed an export ban on the commodity. In addition, other markets such as sugar and oilseed are witnessing significant price increases, said Schuchter, who spoke today at the UN Food Group's conference in London. The emerging UN meeting in Rome is a clear warning sign that we could be on the brink of another food price increase unless swift action is taken. Now, we have the food. They're saying we have the food, but unless we take some kind of action to distribute it to the people who cannot afford it at this time, it'll get to where only the very rich can afford it. But if we don't take action to get it to where these people can buy it, then we're going to have riots and we're going to have revolutions. Already nearly a billion people go to bed hungry every night. You think you got some headaches here? You think you got problems? Last night, every time someone would call me with a complaint, I read them part of the book, The Children of the Dust Bowl. I lived through that. And they said, each one of them, you know, they stopped and thought for a minute. They got real quiet and said, I don't have any problem. Well, praise Yahweh. Brink of another food crisis unless swift action is taken. Already, nearly a billion people go to bed hungry every night. Another food crisis would be a catastrophe for millions of poor people. That's not all of it. I'm going to save some of this to tie in with the scriptures later as I get to that point. Now, yesterday's lesson, we were talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, believing the prophets, believing the one sent, the laws that Yahweh says you must observe at his house. There's no other place you can observe it. At the place he chooses to place his name, and we're observing one at this time, the Feast of Tabernacles. he says to seek the place, and you must go there, and you must rejoice, or you must learn to rejoice in Yahweh's way. Getting people to turn from their lustful ways that the schools of higher learning have put in their minds, running to and fro, lusting, fulfilling their lust it has gotten the world to the point to where every human being on earth is defiled. Their children are born with defilement. The state schools are filled with people that are obviously deformed. But you see them out on the streets too, because the state schools can't handle all of them. And right now, the funding is so, they're running out of funding. The schools of higher learning, they can't tax the people anymore because of the depression that we're under, and the oppression keeps getting heavier on everyone, and now they're taking it out of the rich people's pockets. Barack Obama wants them to share the load, and some are saying they will, others are saying they will not, and you have no right to ask for my money. Well, it's beginning to fall, and everyone knows it. And of course, that's what the scripture predicts, and that's what's bringing on the wars among the kings of the East, which started this whole mess to begin with. But getting you to see that the way Yahweh instituted mankind to live is without sin, this brings healthy minds, healthy bodies that helps you to rejoice in doing your work or doing the work. At the same time, you can fulfill every dream, every lawful desire, things that are very satisfying, that do satisfy. You don't find satisfaction in carnivals, in state fairs. You find excitement. And there's a great deal of difference in this excitement and frills, fantasies. There's a great deal of difference in that and true joy or even peace in living. Well, Yahweh offers you the true joy and tells you how you can find it. But telling a person this and getting them to act on it is a hard thing. It's not an easy thing to do. The people want salvation. Everyone wants salvation. But they put in their mind, the beastly system puts in their mind, that Yahweh is trying to get them to say, "Oh, I'll accept your Savior. Yeah, put me on your list for heaven." Well, that's about as deep as their studies go. The fact is, Yahweh is not trying at all to get you saved. Anybody saved. He could convert anyone he wanted to. This is a trial period here on earth that he's putting everybody through for 6,000 years. The people that turned against him, that didn't go along with his plan, they're not actually lost, but they never were called into his work either. But they were used, they were allowed to go their own way or follow Satan's way to prove his point. And he knew this was going to take place. And he had a plan of 6,000 years to bring about a true Savior, then a righteous work that would, in these last days, be the turning point of bringing the world to understanding. When you can see the world falling, and then you see the bombs tearing the buildings down and everything that you've seen burn up, it's pretty easy to see then, it will be pretty easy to see then, that Yahweh was correct in what he was saying. We see a part of it now. Yes. We see a part of it. We can see that Revelations here is coming to pass. The quartet, the very fact that the quartet was prophesied for this time period, the hidden codes even show the names for this time period. the names of the work of Yahweh and the leading governments, leaders, the leader's name. Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, they're all in the hidden codes, and they don't go past 2011. The dates don't go past that. So, and we know that we're right at the end of this time period that Yahweh has allotted. Well, the reason you're sitting here is that Yahweh is making you, we're building you to the point of righteousness where you can make atonement. Get that tape if you haven't listened to it. Get that sermon where you can make atonement. Where you could actually start a breeding program in your family and bring forth Yeshuas, one after another after another. That's what we're going to bring forth in the kingdom. It won't be like it is today where you're having children, you know, that are deformed already with stripes against them, and then you're pleading with them to do righteousness, but it's coming back to them to do evil all the time. It won't be like that at all. They will be according to this breeding program that Yahweh brought forth and guided every minute that brought Yeshua forth. Well, Yeshua, of course, he lived a sinless life, as we saw. He became what was pictured as a Passover lamb. Get that tape too. If you haven't got that sermon, get it and listen to it and mark it in your Holy Scriptures. I've covered every point there. Yeshua became the chief cornerstone of the building. If you remember, I showed you yesterday, the house of Yahweh was actually, it was sometimes pictured as a building. And of course, the people were the living stones. And Yeshua, he became the chief cornerstone of this building that Yahweh is putting together of people. He became then the head of the corner, as the scripture said, and whosoever is not connected with him, with Yeshua, they have no life. That's what the scripture shows. That's what I read you yesterday. This was, of course, Yahweh's doing, and we rejoice in that plan. Now, we came down to the chief cornerstone in the Matthew 21:42, Acts 4:11, and then Ephesians 2:2. Now, I want you to turn with me now to 1 Kefa 2, and let's start with verse 1. 1 Kefa 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice and gall and hypocrisy, yes, there is something to do. If you got Christianity in you right now and you think there's nothing to do, that he did it all for you, but all you have to do is say, I accept you. Get down on your knees, maybe. No, you don't have to do that. I don't guess you have to say, I accept you. They say you don't have to do anything. But then they tell you, you got to accept Jesus. So you got to do something, I guess, even in Christianity. But it's the most confused mess. There's nothing that makes any sense in it if you just get to studying what is taught there. He says here, the apostle himself, who they hung upside down and killed. These are the people that this beastly system went after and tried to destroy. They tried to destroy all of them, but they couldn't. They never could destroy all of them, and the word kept spreading that Yeshua had died on the stake, as was prophesied of him, and that he spoke after the resurrection, and his disciples saw him rise up and into the clouds and descended into the heavens. Ascended into the heaven. Well, the apostles now, and speaking after this and telling about this, they said, therefore, lay aside all malice and all gall. This is bitterness and hatred. Hypocrisy, pretension. Pretension, you know. People come here and pretend that they want to be righteous, but when they're corrected sometimes, they turn in bitterness and hatred. and want to hang on to things that will get that will keep them out of the kingdom. The only reason you should be here is to want to be a part of righteousness, which leads to salvation, which leads to the kingdom of Yahweh. That's the gate to Yahweh. Righteousness is. Get rid of it, this hypocrisy. Get rid of envy and evil speaking. Evil speaking is any word against the work. That's the way Yahshua put it. Any word against the work, it will not be forgiven you, Yahshua said. As newborn babes, long for the sincere milk of the word. Long for it. Go to the place I've chosen to place my name. Go to the priest. Find your place. Do whatever you're assigned to do. Do it with all your might. Whether it's study, whether it's a job, or what. Look on down to verse 4. Coming to him as living stones. As living stones, indeed rejected by men. Yeah, the house of Yahweh has suffered persecution since the day it was started. And Yahweh promised this. He prophesied that Yisrael, Yaakov, would be given to death. He would be let. That's the first witness. That was my older brother. He would be given to death, but the second witness, Yisrael, Yahweh said, would be given to reproaches. And of course, that's exactly what we have suffered and still suffering, reproaches throughout the world today. We're the most hated group. This was proven in court when I was arrested. It was proven that ACU is the highest on the list. We are the very lowest. I'm worse than Al Capone, it was said. This is the way they described it. Well, we have gone through that period, still going through it, rejected by men. Yes, we are rejected by men, but chosen by Yahweh and very precious in his sight. That's what he's saying to you right now, brother. Very precious. Because why? Because you're going to be given authority, the authority over the universe. This is what Satan hated. You know, she had great authority and she didn't want it taken from her. So she started trying to destroy mankind. And she started trying to lead him astray, which Yahweh allowed her to do so. And he used her and used her character to actually bring forth his plan and prove it to the universe, to the whole universe. He said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you. Either you keep my laws or you won't make it into my kingdom. So the universe is going to know that the only ones that will enter, that will be given this authority, are those who rule as Yahweh rules. You got that? Praise Yahweh. Now, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Remember, Yahshua said these laws, they are the spirit of Yahweh. That's the spirit that he wants in you, meaning character, of course. It brings about a character. And even though you're born with three strikes against you, Yahweh says that you can convert, renew your body, and be given a new body that won't have all these defects. But the time when you're given this new body, then you will be to the point to where you won't bring this body, the second body, down that Yahweh is going to give you. Not all will die and come up with a new body. Many of us will live, Yahweh said, as I read you yesterday. We won't die. We won't, Yahweh says. But we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we won't have aches and pains after that. Neither will we be bringing sexually transmitted diseases into that body to bring it down. So we're built into a spiritual house, a spirit that keeps Yahweh's laws. that is exactly like Yahshua lived. A spirit of servitude, being a servant to others. And that's what we've got to be. We can't rule. We've got to lead, teach, and guide, and be servants to one another. That's the way to joy and peace. To be a holy priesthood. That's what we're training for. Holy priesthood. Offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah. What is a spiritual sacrifice? Well, it's that bit of gas that's floating around here in the cloud that looks like a lamb. Look up there in the sky. You'll see it somewhere. Play Hiawatha here for a while and go looking for it. A spiritual sacrifice is your service to mankind, each other. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious." Now, he's laying this in Zion, so we know that he had to die in Zion. This is the place where he died. He had to die in a certain place. He was laid as a foundation in Zion. Precious, he's precious to Yahweh, and he who believes in the one sent. It's what he's talking about, believing. The unbelievers will have their part in the lake of fire. That's the only part they can look forward to. Well, what's he talking about, believing? Well, believing that Jesus is the Christ, is that what it is? That Jesus is the Christ, that all you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ. Well, that's Christianity. Be as evil as you want, but believe that Jesus is the Christ. And that will get you to heaven. Oh, is that our reward, getting to heaven? We can do that in a plane. We can do it in a rocket. They're going up there every day, paying big money to go up there. No, the reward, brethren, is that great change that takes place in your mind that makes you like Yahshua himself. And he laid that foundation through Yahshua. And it's precious, and it should be precious to you. You who believe, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. You can suffer shame from men, but you won't be shamed by Yahweh. You won't be shamed by Yahshua. He will recognize you as his. Therefore, to you who believe, believe into the one sent. He is precious, but to those who are disobedient, well, here shows your unbelief. As Hebrews 4 said, the reason they didn't keep the Sabbath is because they didn't believe. They didn't believe in this appointment, this everlasting appointment with Yahweh. This is one of them that we're keeping here today. Keeping one of these appointments that is everlasting, that we will be keeping this throughout all eternity. No matter what planet we're on, we will travel to this earth to keep this appointment. But those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Whether they like it or not, he became the head of the corner, and he became that head of the corner through keeping Yahweh's laws, upholding everything that was written by the laws and the prophecies. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. A stone of stumbling. We don't want this man ruling over us. He was offered, if you remember, he was taken up and offered all the kingdoms of the world. Well, that's what the Pope wanted. That's what the fourth empire, called the Roman Empire, when they finally took over the world, their historians are you know, they rejoiced always in their bragging about our empire. Our empire has become universal. It rules the whole world. Well, of course, that's what Yahweh prophesied in Daniel that it would. And we'll see, we'll get to that in just a moment, but get this in your mind about these stones. He became a stone of stumbling, He still is today. He still is today. You can get people so close, and then lo and behold, here's somebody that comes up and says, Yahweh doesn't accept human sacrifice. This man could have never been sacrificed. He could have never done what the scripture says that he did, what he was prophesied to do. So it just wipes their whole thing out. As Yeshua says, they have no depth in it because they only studied for 4 hours. So they have no depth to carry them through and see that the people are lying to them when they say such goofy things as this. But that's true. This is true. He couldn't. So where's the Savior? Oh, well, we got to get this lamb out here and go butcher it. That's our Savior. And then we'll all be healed. It'll be a miracle. Healed. So they stumble being what? What does it say? Why do they stumble? Look at it for yourself. They're disobedient to something. They may not tell you that, but they are. They're not wanting to keep the Sabbath. They're not wanting to humble themselves to the priest, which is the very first thing you have to do. They don't want to go to the place where Yahweh chose to place his name. There's something in there to keep them. It's the disobedience to something. It's not because they truly believe this that somebody has said. You couldn't believe that kind of stupidity. There's no way you could, but you can use it as an excuse to be disobedient. And that's exactly what Yahweh is showing you here. They stumble being disobedient to the laws of Yahweh, to which also they were appointed. Did you see that? So this person that did this, you got to keep in mind that this person that did this may be appointed to do so as a test to you to see if he can lead you away. And then if he can lead you away, then you would never be fit for this kingdom that Yahweh wants to give you all of this authority to send you to a planet to teach that planet. What if they don't believe you came? Well, you could work a miracle. Well, that doesn't work. Yeshua worked miracles and they all left him except his 12. Now think of this, what I'm telling you. Yes, you could work miracles. You could move mountains. What is going to get you believed is what Yahweh is proving right now. I call heaven and earth to witness against you. If you don't keep these laws of Yahweh, as I've told you to do, if you don't follow the Savior who is your teacher, high priest and king, and try to become and be an example of his, you can't be better than your teacher, but you can be close to him in righteousness. It's the righteousness that they will see and judge you as being sent by Yahweh. And believe me, they will have your records. Yahweh will provide that for you. He will give you a white stone of acquittal. Now keep that in mind, because we're going to see this. A white stone of acquittal. He promises you that. Okay? Now, look back here to verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. Yes, that's the only reason, the only thing that makes you different from the men out there in the world. Anyone out there in the world, because Yahweh chose you and brought you to his house. Opened your eyes to understanding, as the great Shaul Hawkins brought out, of the man in the chariot who was reading. And Philip says, do you understand what you read? And he said, no, I can't. I have to have someone show me. Someone would have to show me this. Well, of course, he understood that part, that someone, he has to find someone who can understand Scripture. And that understanding don't come to everyone. Blessed are those who are actually chosen to read, then blessed are those who will actually hear, are chosen to hear. You're chosen to hear right now. Now, whether you believe what you hear or not is your choice. That's your choice. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that would show forth the praise of Him who has called you out of darkness into this light. Show forth the praise to Him as Yahshua, living by and upholding everything that Yahweh taught. All the laws, all the prophecies. If you remember, He taught the prophecies, showed all the prophecies concerning Himself, which you will be able to do too. You came through this generation right here, the most wicked generation of all. This is the most evil generation of any generation of all, because it has more pull. It has pull from all directions. The TV was bad enough, but now the internet, it has pulls that can get you to lusting, I'm told. I don't fool with the internet. I don't fool with anything except our shows on the internet. That's the only thing, and somebody pulls them up to show them to me. I don't even want to search the internet. I want to search these scriptures. That's my job, and I'm doing it. I love to do it. Darkness into this marvelous light. Get that word light. It'll help you to understand the prophecy. Who in time past were not a people. No, you were nothing. Nothing more, as one of the prophets said, one of the apostles said, you're like a sack of manure unless you believe. You're worth nothing more than a sack of manure that will be used to fertilize the sands of the earth. Unless you believe the one sent, and unless you act on that belief and start being a servant to your fellow man, those around you, who in time past, being a servant now, not on your own, but whatever job you're assigned to do by Yahweh. That is the priest of Yahweh. You can't go to heaven and see Yahweh right now and get your orders. You can't go see Yahshua. But He's got a messenger here on earth that He sent that can get you an answer. And assign you a service to your fellow man, who in time past were not a people at all, but are now the people of Yahweh, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. A little further, beloved, I plead with you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. That comes from the internet, that comes from television, that comes from just walking around. If you, Yahshua Himself said, if you look on a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. And this is a registration against you, a mark against you. And if you entered a planet right now saying, I'm sent here by Yahweh, they can see that record and know you're lying, even if you had power to get there. which you won't. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul or against your members, against the members of your body. This, if you just think of what He's saying here, the same enzymes that feed your body, they come from fruits, vegetables, trees, whatever. The same enzymes, if they're defiled, can turn against your body and war against the members of your body and start bringing it down as you see the world is at this time. Having your conduct honest, this is something else. You see all the instruction He's giving you here about keeping the laws of Yahweh, turning to righteousness? Yahshua, the chief cornerstone, had those. Having your conduct honest among the Gentiles, here we see that word again, that Gentiles, it should have been heathen, turned against the heathen. You know, the world is divided. They divide themselves into races, and one race hates the other race. You know, science knows that this is not so. Science has evidence to show this is not so. The great Kohan Nearya just showed you some of this. It's living proof. that it's not so. We're all from Adam and Eve. No, we didn't come from tadpoles out of the ocean and develop hair and lose our scales or whatever. You know, if you choose to believe that, and the higher schools of higher learning teach it in every school, you know, then that's your doing. You're classified as a disbeliever. But among the heathen, those who don't believe, so that while slandering you as evildoers, which they will, and they do, and some even come here for that purpose, to slander us as evildoers, they may, by your righteousness, your righteous works, which they observe you doing, glorify Yahweh in the day of visitation. Therefore, he says, submit yourselves to every ordained man. Look on over to verse 18. Servants, be subject to your rulers with all fear, not only to the kind and gentle, but also to the harsh. Well, there shouldn't be any harsh rulers here in the house of Yahweh. It just shouldn't be. And if you're a harsh ruler here, you won't be in the kingdom, because that's going to be a record against you. For it is commendable if a man, bearing up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of Yahweh, bearing it because he's conscious of Yahweh, and he himself is proving himself to Yahweh, that won't be for long doing. Till you'll receive the prize, they won't. Now, what glory is it if you receive a beating for doing wrong and you endure it? But if you suffer for righteousness and you endure it, that is commendable before Yahweh. He's the one that you're proving yourself to. For to this you were called. Nowhere do you ever find instruction where you are to buck up against a priest, start calling them names, start acting like a crazy person. Nowhere is this instruction. The same person who would be doing this is saying, I've got to find me a lamb to slaughter. The same people. For to this you were called, to righteousness, not to evil doing. Because for this, doing righteousness, Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us that example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin. Now, here, if you don't believe, then you could follow this person who's saying that Yahweh didn't accept this. All of this is fairy tales. The reason I know that it's not fairy tales is the same way I know that all the scripture is not fairy tale, is because the prophecy that these people give are being fulfilled. It has been fulfilled already, and the rest is yet to come. You can see that it's going to be fulfilled right away, just as they wrote. So no fairy tale can do this. No human being can do this. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body. Did you get that? This was Yahshua. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died in sins, should live for righteousness. What is righteousness? 1 John 3:4-8. Don't let these churches fool you. He who keeps Yahweh's laws is righteous. And he who sins belongs to Satan the devil. Now I want you to go back to Hebrews. Go over to Hebrews. This chief priest, what does this mean? This chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. If you turn to Hebrews 10, you'll see what this means. Now, this is the priest, the priesthood that he is building, the body of priests, or the house of priests. that he is building. And if you look at verse 21 there, it will tell you what that chief cornerstone is. The chief cornerstone. I'll leave the rest there for Kohan Benaiah, because he's bringing a sermon on this during the feast. Don't miss that. It's very important. Let's go back now to Psalms. If you remember Psalms 118, this is a beautiful prophecy that is given to you here for us in these last days. Psalms 118, remember we were working on this yesterday. We will not die, verse 17 says. We will not die. Open the gates of righteousness, that's the gate to Yahweh. Righteousness is the gate to Yahweh. Righteousness is keeping Yahweh's law. That's verse 19 and 20. The stone, the one that we were talking about just now in first Kepha, the stone here in verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. No one accepts Yahshua today except the house of Yahweh, brethren. You can't find where he is. People use his name. There's some people use his name throughout the world, but they're not the prophesied house of Yahweh. And they're just deception that Satan has set up to pull you away. If they repented, if they truly believed the scriptures, they would repent and come to Yahweh's house, the prophesied place where Yahweh chooses to place his name. And there they would be trained. Look at verse 23. This is Yahweh's doing, that he's the head cornerstone, and it's marvelous. It should be a marvelous thing in our eyes. In verse 23. 24. This is the day which Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad. If you'll remember Deuteronomy 12:7, it says, go to the place where Yahweh chooses to place his name and keep my feast, and you shall rejoice. Now, this ties in with keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. So get this in your mind. This is a prophecy concerning us here today, today, right now. Get it in your mind. Rejoice and be glad. Now, save now, we entreat you, O Yahweh. We humbly implore you. Grant success to us. Blessed be he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Blessed is he that's given authority by Yahweh. Blessed is he who sent. He's a blessing to you. Whether you realize that or not, I'm a blessing sent from Yahweh to you to teach you the gate of Yahweh. If I wasn't prophesied, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. Knowing what I know, I would not dare talk to you with this authority. But I do have authority from Yahweh, given in the same place Yahshua got it. Remember, Amos 3:7, I will have no work unless it is prophesied in advance by the prophets of old. Now, we come to verse 27 here. Verse 27, he says, Yahweh is our Father who has given us light, given light to us. Remember those words, we just saw them a while ago in the apostles' work. Bind the sacrifice. Bind the sacrifice. Notice, bind the sacrifice for the feast with ropes. Take it to the horns. Take it to the horns. What is these horns of this altar represent that they would bind Yahshua and take it to the horns? May Yahweh bless you. And I know. But don't miss this next sermon. Don't miss any of these sermons, brethren. This feast is literally loaded with knowledge that you need. We were talking yesterday about we need a longer feast, and I said, well, you know, Solomon, he extended the feast another 7 days, making it 14 days. He was He wasn't in a world of higher learning. I can guarantee you that, because they have so many people under their control. Everybody get your rejoicing sticks here. You're gonna see this in the next sermon now. You're going to see this and how this feast and everything here in this prophecy ties in with Yahshua himself. And it's a beautiful thing, and especially when it shows us right there with him. Yes, it does. Yahweh bless you. I love you.